Pray for a pair. You know, it's funny. Praise the Lord. I was talking last week about hearing from God, you know. But I'd like to preach on it again, just to repeat it, because it's so valuable to hear from the Lord. I was, was it that Friday night or something? I was ordering books. You know, I'm going to pray and then preach my message, but this will teach you something about God. You know, Bill, you talked about God being involved in your everyday life, you know, inviting him in, and I've done that in my finances, and he's blessing me, you know, if I listen to him, right? And just no fear there. Just don't have any fear there. And anyway, I had these books I wanted to read, and so I threw them up on Amazon, you know, like I'm getting, listen to this. This will help you. All of a sudden, I felt like something wasn't right. I was getting ready to buy them. And I had the money in the bank to buy them. It's not that I don't have the money. I just felt like something wasn't right, you know. So I tried to get them. Now, I learned this lesson. I was 20-some years old. I was a single dad. I was raising two kids, and I was struggling financially, and just in a lot of ways. My wife had left me, not Pam, and I was a single dad. And so I was so on fire for God, I went down to this Christian bookstore. Maybe some of you will identify with this. And they had this Dake's, Sandy, a Dake's study Bible. And he's the most famous, like, Pentecostal theologian. And, man, it was like $110 back then. And that was a while ago. And I think I had like $120 in my account. You know, kids probably needed shoes. They probably needed food. And everything inside of me was screaming, don't get this Bible. But there was something else inside of me. My big eyes were like, get it. So I bought it, and I bought that. I took that Bible home. Do you know, I could never read that Bible. Every time I tried to read it, I just felt guilty for buying it. It just didn't feel good. And I was so grieved. When I went home with that Bible in my hand, I felt so guilty. I felt so grieved because my heart was telling me, don't get it. And I was just learning the voice of God, how God speaks to your conscience and speaks to your heart. I should have taken it back. That's what I should have done. And I didn't. I took it home. And I wound up just giving that Bible away. I couldn't read it. I don't have a Dake's Bible. I'm not asking for one. I couldn't read it. I just gave it away. And I learned a lesson from it. Hopefully I did. So Friday I'm loading up my, and I just felt, you know, I had the mind to buy it. Kids have shoes, they're fed. Pam's okay, she's doing well. But I, you know, I just got checked on. You know what I mean by saying I got checked? Anybody know what I mean? My spirit was talking to me. Didn't hear a voice. Man, God will talk to you so much. He'll just check you. When you're dating girls, I don't see a lot of single girls here, boys. When you're dating, sometimes you'll meet someone and God will check you, like, don't do it. You override that check, you'll pay for it. Anyway, so I didn't get them. I said, nah, I'm not going to get them. I think Pam was sitting across from me. I'm not going to get them. I'm not going to buy these books. I'll just get them. I said, maybe the Lord will provide. Didn't even ask for it. I just said, maybe the Lord will provide me money for these books. And so the next night we had our cross-country banquet. Brandon, can I embarrass you? One of our great runners, Brandon Ricketts back there. Braden. I'm sorry. Thank you, Pam. Landon, Braden, Camden. I got all these kids that keep. Anyway, Braden Ricketts, one of our great runners. And so I get a card. I don't think anything of it. And I go home and I open it, and there's an Amazon card there. Don't think anything of it. And read the card. It was really nice. I had some nice gifts. The next morning when I woke up, I thought, you know, I'm going to load this Amazon card and I'm going to buy this other book I wanted. And I said, maybe I'll get, and I, boom, it just hit me. I was loading that card, $50 Amazon card. I went in and got the three books that I wanted. They were $49.33. And it hit me. I said, hey, Pam, God just provided these books I have over in my basket. I was, you know, I obeyed the check that I got. And now God doesn't always do this immediately and all this, but just boom, there I had the money just like that. Isn't that something? Why am I telling you that? We were teaching last week on hearing God, and that's just something so small. And in the meantime, all this is going on, I was counseling a couple that's struggling financially. Hey, there's no condemnation in Christ. When I was young, I struggled a lot financially. A lot of it was my own fault and a lot of stuff you learn. But I was counseling them, and I was trying to, you know, get them on a budget and trying to help them out and everything. And you just see, you want so much for people to learn to listen to the Lord. And you can't make people do it. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, the young lions lack and they suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord, they won't lack for any good thing. But it takes faith, and we're so, just the way life is, the way we're taught, the way we're trained, we're just so busy making money, we're so busy fretting and worrying and trying to pound in a dollar. And you know, and just working with them and just seeing how they, you know, you spend money that you don't have, right? You just throw it out there. And I wish I would have knew when I was younger what I know now about some of those things. But there is nothing that we can do in our lives greater than just listening to God. Amen. Listen to what He's saying. And He'll talk to you in many ways. That's just, I mean, and what I was getting at last week, in every area of your life, Jesus wants to be Lord. Bo, you mentioned video games, right? You know, like bringing God into those video. I got one now I need to bring Him into. I finally got one of those free games, and man, it got me. What's the name of that game I'm playing, Pam? Got these little shapes, and you're trying to make a box, and man, that thing, if you don't watch out, you can get 2 hours will be gone, and you're trying to beat your score, and I need to bring the Lord into that, Bo, because it's like Tetris, it's like that. And anyway, but Bo was talking about bringing God into everything you're doing, and that's what we need to do. We need to bring God into everything we're doing. And if we honor Him, that's why giving, and I'm not talking about giving today necessarily, but it says honor the Lord with the first fruits of your, you know, your labors. And it's telling you that because you want to bring God into it. Someone say amen. Amen. Don't get nervous when I mention money. It says you want to bring God into it. You want to bring God into your family. There are people in the New Testament that they have problems, and everyone that got a miracle, they were bringing God into their situation. They were learning, how do I bring the Lord and His power into this situation? And it seems to me like it's always Jesus, amen? The answer is always Jesus, and somehow, you know, Jesus talked about people getting miracles because they had faith. But you notice they had an object of their faith. What was the object of their faith? Jesus, Edwina. Very good. Jesus. Like I said, if I can just touch Him, if I can just reach heaven and I can touch the Lord, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, if I can just somehow, I'd like to use big words sometimes, even though I probably don't know what I'm talking about sometimes when I use them, but if I can just somehow put God, involve God in the existential, my existence, the existential everyday operation of how I'm living, if I can get God involved, I know I'll get a miracle. If I can just touch Him. And so that's by learning how to live in the Spirit, learning how to hear in the Spirit, learning how to see in the Spirit, we learn to live on a higher level. We learn to live, and I don't mean like, you know, you're more holy than somebody else. Quite the opposite. I think sometimes the higher you go in the Lord, the more that you realize you need the Lord, the more you realize that you can't do it on your own, the more you realize when He says it's His righteousness, it really is His righteousness. It's not mine. It's His. It's really, and it's really what I want to preach on. And Father, help me today to get across what You want to get across, Lord, and anything that's extraneous, Lord, just throw it out. Help me, Lord. Open our heart, open our minds, open our ears to hear the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we want to be a people that live on a higher level. And that higher level is just really opening up to God's voice and God's Spirit. I want to talk about, so I'm going to tell you, Jeff Houck talked to me this week. I'm going to obey my leader, Jeff Houck, one of my leaders. So I want to talk more about hearing from God. And I want to talk about the cost of discipleship and what that means or what it's meant to me in my life. And then I want to just teach you kind of some experience I've had of following the Lord, living a higher life. So remember that what I'm after is to teach you how to learn to follow God. There'll be some repetition from last week maybe, and learn how to prioritize the Lord, walk in the Spirit, and live a higher life in the Lord. So when the Lord, I'm going to read you this. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It's not one I often use. It's kind of small print, so if you see me squinting. By the way, thank you to everyone that helped with the cleaning yesterday. We really appreciate it. And some cleaned the stairs the week before, and it's thank you. We really appreciate that. I know Pam appreciates it. I was with Pam a little bit, helping her upstairs, and I didn't even think about the Buckeyes being on. I quit watching them for 3 years. I finally kind of backslid on that, and I'm watching them again. And they were ahead 49-0 when I got home and flipped it on in the second half. I'm like, what did I miss? That must have been an aerial display like none other, you know. And then I watched them, and they missed a field goal, and they didn't score till late in the fourth quarter. I just barely leave them off. Just leave them alone. Give them to God. They do better when I don't watch them. But Mark 8, 31 says, Then Jesus began to tell them that he, the Son of Man, would suffer many terrible things. He would be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later, he would rise again. And he talked about this openly with his disciples. Peter took him aside and told him that he shouldn't do that. He shouldn't say things like that. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and then he said to Peter sternly, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view." Mark that. You're seeing things from a human point of view, and you're not seeing things from God's point of view. Then he called his disciples and the crowds to come over, and he said, "Listen, if you want to be my follower," he told them, "you must put aside your selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will find your life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your life, lose your soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? If a person is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in glory of my Father and the angels." So Jesus is talking about following him. You know, Jesus didn't give a soft message. When people come up to follow him, he gave them a choice. He didn't beg people to follow him. He just said, "Here's how it is. It's up to you. You have to decide what you want." And one of the things he's teaching here is what he's talking about, this process of exchange. The process of life with the Lord is the process of exchange. You can't hold on to your old life and be a disciple of Jesus. And many Christians, I understand, and please understand what I'm telling you, you are saved by grace through faith. You don't earn it. You can't earn it. And in fact, we read the scriptures, and Paul is telling us that we're complete in him already. You cannot add to your salvation. When you're born again, you got the whole package because you have Jesus, right? How can you add to Jesus? There's a book out there that says Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I've never read it, but I like the title. So when you have Jesus, you can't add to it. However, when we're born again or we become new creations, all of these things are ours. They're truly ours in the spirit. But in our everyday life, we have to renew our mind. We got to, and really, a lot of that word means we have to repent, or we got to change the way we think. Jesus made statements all the time like, if you don't become like a child, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of us are way too sophisticated to walk in the spirit. Way too sophisticated to obey God. And we throw up so many roads. We're so mental. I heard recently a guy talking about, I'll mess up the Greek word, but there's two words, and I think one is noaic and the other one is a pneumatist. A noaic person, everything they do, they process it in their mind. They have to just reason. And when I say in the Bible, when you think of people that were reasoning all the time, who were they? Yeah, is that you, Sister Kittle? Is that you? Yeah, it was the Pharisees. Everything, just reasoning. Now, these people had the law of Moses, and they would reason with God. And they reasoned so much. Here they've got the Son of God, their Messiah, right before them. They've got this law that says, don't murder. And they've got a perfect, innocent man. And all their religious reasoning put them in a position of jealousy. And they wanted to kill. They wanted to murder. Thou shalt not murder. Their own law. They were covetous. They were jealous. They had all these things. That's where their reasoning got them. They just reasoned, went in circles and spun their wheels. And Jesus said, hey, if you're going to walk in the kingdom of heaven, you're saved by grace through faith. But we really do have to become like children and learn again. You could be 80 years old and you are born again. And one of your, today, you're 80 years old and you get born again. All your thinking that you've learned for 80 years is about how to operate in this earthly kingdom. This dog-eat-dog, scratch-and-claw, anger, everything that's out there. That's what you've learned. And at 80 years old, you become a baby Christian. It takes a little humility, doesn't it, to understand. So when we enter the kingdom, we are truly, Peter talks about being a newborn. And he said, get on the milk. When I got newborn, I got so excited what God did for me. I thought I was, because I was more excited than anybody, I thought I was more mature too. And I found out I wasn't more mature. But I was just so excited. I was telling people about Jesus, and I didn't see a lot of other people doing what I was doing. But I, in the ways of the Spirit, I was just a baby. I was just learning. And so when we first give our life to the Lord, we don't know a lot, but if we're not humble, and this is where humility comes in. If we're not humble before our fellow man and before God, we won't grow, because being childlike means to be teachable. And many of us are not teachable because we already know. The Pharisees, in their reasoning, I'm talking about hearing from God, prioritizing what God is saying and growing as a Christian, hearing and growing. They think they already know. And their life should tell them, the fruit of their life should tell them, no, you don't know, but they just keep resisting Jesus. They're jealous of Jesus. They want to kill Jesus. And Jesus loves them and he keeps going after them, but their life should tell them. But because they're proud, what does the Bible say about the proud people? What does God do? Say that? He opposes the proud. I just want to get real nitty-gritty in this teaching. Have you ever been proud in your life? I have. Probably last week. And you ever had God resist you? If you never had the joy of having God resist you, you don't win when God resists you. Someone say amen. What Paul said? You're eating at the cup of the table of the, you're eating at the table of the devil, and you're eating at the Lord's table. You're trying to make the Lord jealous? He said, are you stronger than the Lord? You got to make the Lord jealous. You think you're going to win that? In other words, he's saying, you think you're going to win that battle? Good luck. I was talking to a guy recently, and it broke my heart. Are we okay here, guys? I'm talking about becoming like a child and learning brand new, step one, how to walk in the Spirit. A noadic Christian, thought I forgot about that, is a mental Christian. A pneumatist is a person that needs the power of God. They need to move by the Spirit. They're learning to walk in the Spirit, not out of their mind. Now, it's good. I mentioned the other week about intellectual things. Listen, you got to study if you're in school. If you're an engineer, education's hugely important, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the things of God, and you need to study the Word if you're a believer and rightly divide the Word and dig in there. But I'm talking about, this, when we grab a hold of the Word, we want to grab a hold of it out of a spiritual understanding. Someone say amen. It's not merely just an intellectual exercise. I've seen people confess the Word over and over and over and never possess what they were confessing because it's a noadic thing. It's just their mind. They see it and someone taught it to them, and they've never had a revelation of what, they never had a revelation of what God said. They never really trusted God. They've never really become like a child and stepped out on the water and trusted God and put it to work. It's always mental, and we need for the process to be that this stuff is in my heart, and I'm going to walk on it. I'm going to get this stuff down in me, and I'm going to learn to live on the Word of God by faith. Someone say amen. Faith is a substance. It's a spiritual substance. It doesn't come through human reasoning, or the Pharisees would have had a bunch of it. It doesn't even come through study. I think I've told you before, some of the greatest, most powerful atheists in the world are, they teach the New Testament in colleges, and they're atheists. They know it backwards and forwards. They know the Greek. They know the Old Testament. They know the Hebrew, and they don't have any faith. We want to come to Jesus and the Lord like children and grow. I was talking to a man, as I said recently, and he had got hurt when he was a kid in the church. That's no surprise. People get hurt. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's your fault when you get hurt. Everybody always wants to blame the church. Sometimes it's the person getting hurt because they're hurting people and they're walking. They're not listening to the Lord. And sometimes it's the church's fault. We don't love well. It could be either. But he said that when he was young, he always got pressured, you know, to go to church and it, you know, and he was talking about like worshiping God. I don't want to get too specific because I feel for the guy out in nature and, you know, doesn't go to church. He was tired of it and he had an experience. I'm not even going to go into the details of it because it's too personal. But he had one of the worst experiences that a person could ever have in his life. And I'm talking to him and I'm literally crying as I'm talking to him because I think about how the devil's lied to him about God, how he doesn't know God, how he's in error. You don't worship God. We cannot create idols. And God tells us how we worship. We don't tell him. It's through Jesus, by the way. The Lord is the one in charge. And he tells us how to worship. We follow him. We don't follow idols of our own making and make stuff up and say, God will not accept it. You know what God accepts? Jesus. And Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the winner. And the more we learn to follow him, and I counsel him, but I'm praying, I'm praying for him, and if I can be of any help, I will. But my heart is just grieved and broken because of the lies that the devil tells us about God and the lies that we believe about God. There's no childlikeness to it. There's no wonder in all. If we're going to grow in God, I want us to come to God with humility, expecting to hear from God. And you know, some people think as a Christian, like you want to step out, and I even think of the gifts of the Spirit, like you can never make a mistake, like it's some Old Testament thing that if you make a mistake, you got to get stoned or something. Because in the Old Testament, under law, if you gave a bad prophecy, there's a whole world of difference between being a false prophet and someone that makes a mistake. All right? And I am learning to give people the benefit of the doubt all the time. And I heard a guy preach. I went to another church last two nights, really enjoyed it, had a great time. And I've heard other preachers that they disagree. You know, preachers disagree on all kinds of stuff. Did you know that? Well, you hear one preacher and they'll be saying this, another will be saying this, and then they'll kind of accuse each other. And you're like, you know, your brain spins sometimes, like all day, because they're, you know, the way they disagree with each other. But I'm learning just to give mercy. And I know, you know, that guy that you disagree with, he's a great Christian. He loves God. And I agree with some of what he's saying, maybe not all. And this guy over here, he's a great guy. He loves God. This one guy, I know two guys that walk in the power of God, and they both disagree with each other. Like the way they want, they're both walking in the power of God. One guy's in watch, he's devils are flying out of people, and demons screaming, and people are getting healed. Another guy getting miracles, and they disagree. And I'm like, wow. That's why I say all the time, you become like a child. You need God to make this alive to you. You need to get in that word. And the Bereans were noble-minded. They got into the scriptures, and they were feeding on it, and it was alive to them. They were making it alive. When they heard it, that's what I want. I want to be childlike. And so I've learned to give people mercy. I've learned to give people grace because, you know, people come from all these different perspectives. So I want to be childlike. When we're childlike and we approach God with wonder and awe, that's when miracles happen in your life. When you have childlike obedience, that's what faith really is. It's childlike. Think of the things in the Old Testament that God told people to do, like march around the city, like what? For 6 days, march around the city one time, and then on the seventh day, march around it seven times, and then blow a trumpet and shout. And meanwhile, be quiet. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Can you see your engineers getting together and say, what in the world? Why would we do that? You know, they're discussing, that's not going to do anything. I can just see the reasoning in people's minds as they're hearing from the Lord. I mean, a lot of times the way of faith, and you know, he's a lot smarter than we are, tells us to do something. When we handle it with childlike wonder and awe and obey the Lord, you see walls come down. When we just get stuck in reasoning, you don't grow. Yeah, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you are not going to walk in your inheritance in the Lord. You're not going to walk, and I'm not going to walk. We're not going to walk until we become like children. And part of that is taking up your cross, denying your selfish ambition, and following the Lord. The Lord gives us choices in the now of our existence all the time. Like, what are you going to believe? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle? Are you going to mix the Word of God with faith? Are you going to act on the Word of God? Are you going to step? The Lord will always give us choices. And I know, like, the Lord, I don't sense like He's angry at anybody. He's saying, if anybody wants to be my disciple, if anybody wants to follow me, this is what you got to do. And it hasn't changed, because although you're born again and you're a new creation, you've got to learn to crawl, and you've got to learn to walk, and you've got to learn to step out, and you've got to learn to live by faith. It's not enough to amass knowledge of the kingdom. In fact, that stuff will hurt you sometimes, because the Bible says if you don't put the word to work, your heart gets hard. You think you know when you don't know. Your heart gets hard. And the whole issue with God is your heart. To allow the spring of your life and the Spirit to work in you. You got to keep we sung the song about having a soft God. Give me a soft heart. Work in my heart. Don't let me harden my heart. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, read it. He tells them, don't harden your hearts. Believers can harden their hearts. Stay tender before God. Stay childlike before God. Read the Psalms. Read David, how he loved God and approached God. I was telling Kelsey, I went to church and I really enjoyed it. My favorite part was last night, just worshiping God. Just worshiping God. You know how good it feels to worship the Lord and touch Him and He touches you? You'd give anything for that. When God touches you back. Sometimes we're so critical of the music, we don't like the style or what. We never touch the Lord because your reason. Your reason. I preach messages and people reason. If you listen and open up to the word of the Lord, it'll speak to you and change you. But you got to be childlike. You got to humble yourself, and you got to die to your selfish ambition. There's nothing in the gospel. Let me stay with me here. There's nothing in the gospel about you. He says, you're dead. You no longer live. So if you think you're going to come to the Lord and He's going to make you a famous preacher, boy, I found out that wasn't true. Everybody's going to like you, and hey, Brad, you're doing a great job, and everybody's going to sing your praises, and you're going to get rich. And he says, you're in the wrong business. Those things could happen in your life. He said, but that's what you're after. That's called selfish ambition. You're in the wrong business. He says, what I want to do is kill you. What? That's what he did at the cross. When James and John said, hey, you know, he said, can you drink from the cup that I'm drinking of and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They go, yeah, we can do it. He said, oh, you're going to. You're going to. And they did in their identification with Christ. The life in us of Christ is a life that has passed through death. It's already passed through. It's already done. The life that's in you has passed through death, and it is risen and exalted and seated with Christ. And that life in you wants to get up and go. It wants to follow Jesus. It wants to worship. It wants to do everything in the Word, but you get this stuff in your soul that's always putting the brakes on. Someone say amen. I'm talking about the little things in your life, like putting your family, you know, like serving your husband or serving your wife or, you know, serving your kids out of a God heart. You want your kids to be more successful in God than you do Little League because your priorities change. What would it profit you if your kids, you know, win the state in the LCL or the state cross country and they die and go to hell? What would it profit you? What would it profit you if you have a kid that is the best football player on the team, but he's a little snot, right? What would it profit you? It wouldn't profit you anything. Well, if they grow up and they hate you. Story of this gentleman I was telling, I thought of the song, The Cat's in the Cradle. You know, said my boy was just like me, and it's somewhat this story is like that. His boy, it's the sad part of the story was his son was just like him, and it created tragedy in his life. Said, yeah, he grew up like me. I taught him well. I want to read the scripture out of Hebrews, and I'm not going to tarry on this. Honestly, what the Bible's good news. Here's the good news. If we can learn, even growing in the Lord, it's not like, did Jesus crucify himself? No, they put him up there, right? When we give our life to the Lord, and this process of life, you know, is the process of exchange. When we surrender, that song, Kelsey, you sang, we surrender and we lay things down. What happens is the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit brings us to situations and he gives us a choice. The Holy Spirit says, hey, Brad, this is who you are. This is not who you are. How many people get hung up on forgiveness? They won't forgive. And the Holy Spirit will come and say, listen, you got to die to that. You get bitter towards somebody and you just fight in bitterness. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's not who you are. And you have a choice. Am I going to let bitterness eat my lunch every day? Or am I going to let go? Am I going to die to myself? You have selfish ambition. It's always about you. And, you know, people stepping on your toes and they're stopping your ambition. And people aren't doing what you think they should. And the Holy Spirit brings that life in you that wants to grow and wants to be enriched in Christ. He says, hey, that's not who you are. And by faith, you say, hey, I reckon I'm dead. That's not who I am. And that's not who I want to be. Now, I don't know about you. I deal with these things all the time. Letting stuff go, that's old creation stuff. I'm going to read in Hebrews. You don't have to turn there. I want to get biblical on you. Wasn't there a movie where some guy said he's going to get biblical on you? He was talking about like disaster or something. How much judgment? Listen to this. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm talking about becoming a new person, listening, hearing God, and acting on the word, and living like a new creation. This is verse 5, chapter 3. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you. Did you hear that? Do you have a part to play in this? Whatever's natural. I don't know what King James says there for earthly. It says, put to death, therefore. It sounds like you got to do something, doesn't it? Put to death whatever is earthly, sexual immorality. Impurity. Passion. Are we okay, guys? I love y'all. I do. I love you. Jesus, you're all my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to help you. I want to help us. Evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, by the way. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those that don't know the Lord. And these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Look, put away anger. Anger don't make you happy. Anger makes you angry. Isn't that right? Anger doesn't make you happy. Anger makes you angry. Why do you want to be angry for? You want to let someone else control you, your emotions? No way. What did that Holocaust survival, Viktor Frankl, said? They took away everything he had, his wife, his livelihood. They even shaved him to his skin. Even the very minutiae, the hair on his body, they took it. Everything he had, they took it from him. He said, but the one thing they couldn't take from me was my attitude and suffering. He said, I was not going to let them steal my soul. And I've refused to be bitter. I refuse to be resentful. I refuse to be hateful. I refuse to let them control my attitude. Because I still, that's the one thing I could control and nothing else. Bare bones existence. They're not taking my attitude. I am not letting the devil steal my joy. I am not letting him take my attitude. I am going to forgive. I'm going to do what the Lord has said in my life. And I am going to see the power of God in my life. And we're going to see the power of God in this church. If it's me and three others, we're going to see the power of God in this church because Jesus wants to move. The atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles, but sometimes our hearts are so hard with so many things in life. You're saved, you know the Lord, but these things come in and steal from us. The little foxes come in and steal. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Seeing that, now listen to this. Seeing that you have put off the old person you used to be, the old man, the old self, you have done it. When? In Christ. So put it off. These clothes don't fit anymore. Anger doesn't fit you anymore. You're a new creation. Lust does not fit you anymore. It's a weak bag of clothing on you. You don't look good in lust. You don't look good in greed. It's baggy. He says, but we're being renewed in knowledge after the image of Jesus, our Creator. Here there is not Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, but Christ is Lord. Christ is all in all. Put on, then he tells you what to put on. He says, put on. So we're putting off stuff and we're putting on stuff. What are we putting on, Paul? Put on compassion. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint, forgiving each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you forgive. And above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you by faith that you belong to the Lord. How many here belong to the Lord? Anybody here? You belong to the Lord. That stuff in the negative list is not you. That stuff on the good side, that is who you really are. That's who you are. You become like a child and you believe it. That's called faith. It'll start working in your life. And anything in your life that's a branch that doesn't bear fruit, still got that lust, or God will come in there and he'll, as you're believing, he'll do it by grace as you're believing, because it all comes by faith. Sanctification's by faith. It's not by trying harder. As you're abiding in the vine and as you're believing, he'll come and he'll just whack that limb right off of there. It hurts sometimes. Ouch! But it's good when it's all done. It feels so good. Say, oh God, I'm so glad that trial's behind me. I'm so glad that temptation's behind me. And we're just going to move on, Lord. Let's go get something else, Lord. You got greed out of my life, Lord. Let's get this out. Come on. Because it happened at the cross. It happened at the cross. Your old man was crucified. You're a new person. I reckon, this is out of Romans chapter 6, I think verse 11. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God. It's faith, Larry. Consider yourself dead to this and alive to that. Okay. So I'm going to read this and I'm done. Paul talked in Hebrews 12. Paul's talking about discipline. I want to start here. He gives a great example. At verse 12 of Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, lift up your drooping hands. Hebrews 12:12. I'm sorry, I know. I was talking to someone about that. They're learning to flip through their Bible and I'm off like a rocket. Like, phew. You guys okay? You listening? Y'all happy? Okay, thanks, Noah. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may be put out of joint, but rather be not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness. That's a beautiful word, isn't it? Holiness. Without which no one will see the Lord. We're talking about what? Spiritual sight, right? Hearing, seeing. I really think that's what he has in mind. You're not going to see the Lord. I don't know if this is an eternity, like heaven and hell thing here. He's saying you're not going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? They shall see God. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, and that no one is sexually immoral. There it is again. No one is sexually immoral or unholy or ungodly like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Anybody ever done that? Just for like a single little small thing, God was telling you. I know I'm always the only one. You know, like God's telling you this and this little thing over, fleshly thing over here, you jump on it. I'm the only one that's ever done that. I know I'm the worst guy in the church. Maybe that's why I'm preaching. Yeah, don't follow the Lord, okay? I'm doing better now. You can follow me as long as I'm following the Lord. Follow me, but otherwise don't. He says, afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place to repent. That means change your mind. Even though he sought it with tears. And then Paul talks about how we've come to a mountain. We've come to a kingdom. We've come to an inheritance that is powerful in heaven. We've come to Jesus, the Son of God, the saints of God. We're in another kingdom. Now, you have to take a long view if you're going to be a Christian, right? But he's telling you, by faith, can you see it in your eyes? We're coming to Jesus, the King of the universe, by faith. We're coming to holy men and examples of God that have passed through the same things we have and they've overcome. We're coming to a great cloud of witnesses. We're coming to a mountain that's shaking. And, you know, we're coming to an all-consuming, loving God. And he's telling us, come on, guys. Come on. We have things that the people in the Old Testament, they don't even have a right to eat from the altar that we eat from. We can literally go right to heaven and hear from God. I heard from him last night. He's talking to me about things. Just, we can literally, it felt like last night, and the pastor confirmed this, it felt like Jesus was just right in front of me. Like, just like I was just talking to, I could almost see him. Then the pastor got up and said the same thing. Said, didn't it feel like Jesus was just walking through the, I said, yes, you know, yeah, it did. So exactly what it felt like. We can eat from this table, not the table of demons. It should be the hunger and the thirst of our life. It is so much more precious than anything. Don't we sing those songs all the time? It is so much more precious than the things that we pursue and the things that we, just for a little bit of soup and a little bit of sex sometimes, there have been preachers, and I have compassion for them. I get it. They're men. There have been preachers that have had international ministries, and I love them. I'm not saying this. I won't say their names. And just for a little girl, they've given up preaching to millions of people, and some little girl comes along and flirts with them, and woof, they just ate porridge. Some of you have callings on your life to be intercessors, and you know, and you're in there. This is not a condemnation message. You know, don't exchange that calling you have, that eternal glory you have. Fulfill the calling on your life. Don't let a little bit of porridge, whatever your temptation is. It wasn't for no reason that Jesus was tested. Everyone gets, was Abraham tested? Was Daniel tested? Was Job tested? Was Peter tried and tested? Everyone gets tested. Jesus said, you're going to get tried by fire. The devil ain't going to let you off easy, and I'm not giving him any praise because you're the one that decides. You have authority over him. But he'll put something out there, a little bit of porridge when you're very hungry. You'll be free from heroin for 5 years and you'll be depressed and sad and not, and he'll just put that stuff right back in front of you and say, this is your answer. You feel rejected and lonely and he'll put some man or some woman right in front of you right at that time. You'll get tested. But when we seek the Lord, I don't have time, Psalms 34, I was in it this week. When we seek the Lord, when we make him our priority, he said, all those things you're seeking, there is no lack for those that seek the Lord. It says the young lions, they're going to lack and suffer hunger. But those that seek the Lord, they don't lack for any good thing. God first. Jesus is Lord. Jesus first. Everything flowing out of that. God will do more for you than you could ever do for yourself. I don't know where to take it now. I'm done. You give me a second. I'm painting this picture because flesh is just empty. Flesh is empty. You hear people that, I heard a guy won a Super Bowl ring. You hear people got a Super Bowl. There was a football player, and I don't want to say who he is, and saw him, millions of millionaire. He has everything. He has fame and fortune, and saw him on a video beating his girlfriend. Like, that money hadn't done him a lot of good. That fame hadn't done him a lot of good. Amen? Jesus is the only one that'll satisfy the deepest cravings of the human heart. Someone say amen. I'll tell you what I want to do. It's like 2 till 12. Can you guys sing without Ged? I don't see Ged. Can you do that? What I want to do, and I don't mean this in a dirge way. I don't want to sing a dirge. But that song, All I Am, I Surrender, if that's you and you just want to surrender stuff to the Lord, I'm talking, you want to put some stuff away. I talked to a couple last week that decided to put some things away. You want to put some things away, and you're not going to pick them back up. I was putting things away. The Lord's always bringing stuff to me, and you want to grab a hold of some stuff. As we worship the Lord, the altar will be open. You can do it in your seat. You can come up to the altar. And then I did have a word last night. Let me test it. When I was worshiping, I kept hearing spinal, and I think you do, but I don't know that it's you. But there's a spinal. Anybody have a spinal, like a curved spine or something in their spine that's not right? There's somebody. And I know, Jackie, that you've had issues there. I already know that. Anybody else? The Lord wants to heal that. If you come up and I'll pray for you. And then if you have a need in your body and you want to come up, I'll pray for you. I know it was the Lord, so I know it's somebody. I know as much as I can know. Who is it?